And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 185. I'm your host, Silas Lindenstein, and welcome to another edition of Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Today is a wonderful edition. We have both a review and an interview. I'm going to be reviewing the new film, Are You Happy Now? And followed by some interviews by the director and first-time filmmaker David Beinstein, as well as Josh Rubin, one of the actors of the film. They both joined me via Zoom together, and I interviewed them, talked a little bit about the film itself and about them and what motivated them to do the film. And then, of course, they answered the world-famous Black and a Half 7 questions. So we got that going on today. A review and interview. Then before we get to that, I want to give a big shout out to our Patreon supporters. If you want to become a Patreon supporter of the show and join the League of Extraordinary Listeners for just $1 a month, you can go to you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners for just $1. Or for a little bit more, you could become an Inner Circle member like Keith Nagel, Stephen Ward. Become the top bosses in your area, right? Join today. And also, if you haven't yet, please go subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Give a rate and review. It really helps the program out a lot. And of course, as always, you should check out my other podcast, the serious one, the one about home buying. Yeah, it's called You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I educate and empower home buyers all across the nation on the process, instruct them how to buy a house, and give them good methods. You know, and of course, if you're in the Seattle, Washington area, I'd love to help you out personally, because when I'm not watching movies, I'm helping people buy and sell homes. That's what I do. But That is that podcast, and this is this one. So right now I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 185. Are You Happy Now?
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission.
And hello. Thank you for coming back. I appreciate it. I love doing movie reviews. It's even better when I get the people actually on the show as well to talk about it. And you assume that I probably have to be nice about the film if I have them on, but that's not true. I'm a jerk. So if I don't like it, I'm probably still going to say so. Or I just won't review it. But I'm reviewing this one because I did like it over. Yeah, I did like it. Let you know the film. Are You Happy Now? It stars Josh Rubin and Ismene Mendez. Written and directed by David Beinstein. It is unrated. More that it was not being submitted to the MPAA. So it's a running time of 95 minutes. It is a comedy, a romance. And it builds itself as an anti-romantic comedy. So those of you who hate romantic comedies might like this one. And I can see why. Give you a synopsis that they send out for it. Are You Happy Now is a story of Adam, who can't live without Gina. So when he finally gets the nerve up to ask her to marry him, he's devastated by her principled refusal. Husbands used to own wives, she retorts, having no interest in recreating her parents' tortured home. Gina finally agrees to marry, but Adam is hardly up to the task. Does true love mean divorce? So, this is a film that it got me thinking. I mentioned it in the interview that, I mean, ultimately this is a film. Okay, because the characters' names in this are Gina, Adam and Gina, right? Adam is trying to find happiness. I believe it's because he thinks that marriage will make him happy. And I think it's hard for sometimes for people to understand why they're not happy when they should be, right? They're married, and maybe they have family around, maybe it's dysfunctional, but it's there. They're happy in a relationship, and maybe to be truly happy, they need to get married. And I think that's sort of an examination of that. They get married early in the film. Like, it's not that long into it, so it's not a big spoiler at all. So they deal with it, what it's like when they're married and why things were going good before and why they're not after, right? Some people make a great couple, but don't make good spouses, I guess. But ultimately this film is about Adam's quest to find happiness. And I think that's all of our quests. A lot of what we do is trying to figure out what makes us happy. And this, you know, he bounces between discovering working at a fried chicken place and his boss's love of chickens, like actual chickens, not dirty. It's like love. Like he wants free organic chickens, and he has some pet chickens there that he cooks chicken, which is a little weird, but the film is funny. It is a funny film. It's definitely independent. It's just got that style, like I talked about in previous episodes, which I love. I absolutely love independent films because you don't know where it's going to go. So there's this uneasiness watching them. It doesn't feel formulaic. There's some great chemistry between the two actors. I was talking about ping pong, pinch ouch, back and forth acting between the two leads. That's very nice. Josh's relationship with his brother is, Adam's relationship. Josh is the actor. Adam's relationship with his brother, it's dysfunctional, but pretty funny. And I think this is 2 hours or hour and a half of time delving into the lives of these characters who are flawed but kind of fascinating. And you root for them despite the circumstances in hopes that, well, it's going to, I think it'll work out. I think this will work out for them, right? I'm hoping so. And so you want to see it to the end. So, I always on the show try to find a lesson from the film, and I think the lesson is try to look around what you have to see if that is what makes you happy, because this is long, man. I want to be quick and witty, but I feel like the lesson is that you need to look around you to see if that the stuff around you is what's really making you happy. And if you actually even need more, maybe you're content. Maybe you are happy and you're not, you don't even know it. Maybe you're happy and you don't even know it. As things are, why change a good thing? That could be a lesson too. Okay. Anyhow, that's my thoughts on the film. It's good. I have my 3L system. Love it, like it, or lose it. I am going to give Are You Happy Now a like it. Okay. I'm not. Well, I'm only doing one film. So do I need to explain it? Okay. So you either love it, like it's the film you pick up as soon as you watch it, and pick up the phone, and call people, or post on Facebook. You have to see this film, and you like it. Yeah, you like it. You like a lot of films, right? For different levels, different reasons. It's one that you would sit and watch, and maybe watch even again. Lose It is so that you would. I watch this so you don't have to. But this is not that kind of film. This film is a like it, for sure. I enjoyed it. So now let's step into the other room and listen to our interview with David Beinstein. And it may be David Beinstein. Look, David, if you're listening to the show, my name is Silas Lindenstein. I have this problem all the time. I get called Lindenstein. It's Lindenstein. So we're in the same boat. So I apologize if that's incorrect. But I'm saying David Beinstein. I think that's what it is. And Josh Rubin, the actor. Let's listen to them right now. Excellent. So, thanks. So are you happy now? It's a fun film. I was a little, I do like romantic comedies, and I saw the anti-romantic comedy kind of sub statement on there. And I found it, I keep thinking about this movie, like when I'm not meaning to, in this eternal search for happiness that we have going on, kind of. And did you write this as a lingering film? Because
lingering meaning,
I don't know, like that people would keep thinking about it going away. Like I didn't actually expect at the end of it to like that. I was like, oh, that was a nice film, but I can't stop like thinking about moments in the film.
I don't know if that was the intention, but like, you know, yeah, certainly like the, you know, always trying to be happy is a, you know, it is certainly something that goes back, you know, thousands of years, and it's, you know, it's not going anywhere. So certainly that's a significant, you know, question.
Yeah. What was the impetus for this? Was this, is this autobiographical at all or completely?
No more so than the idea of a guy who is like totally sure he's going to fuck up his life, mm-hmm. you know? And actually, you know, I remember, when I met with Josh, he did ask me that, like, what's up with this guy? And I did say that, like, you know, it's, you know, somebody who's certain he's going to fuck up his life. And, so, you know, for better or worse, you know, that's not something that's hard for me to, kind of relate to. So when you say autobiographical, certainly to that sense, you know, and yeah. A guy who's so certain he is going to screw up his life is kind of clinging to, you know, his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Okay. Josh, was there any particular, would you say there's any particular trait of your characters that you, related to there?
Oh, I mean, he's so much me. I think it's just the pathos of love thing. I mean, do you want to settle down? Do you want to commit, constantly searching, not quite sure what you want? I've been there in the more probably younger years of my life. I imagine Adam is like younger than I actually am. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't quite know what I wanted to do, where I was going, if anything would kind of pan out. But also just like the pathos of love thing, the volatility of love and how that can kind of spiral you and inform your life decisions. That's like, that's very personal to me, especially in my more formative years.
Are you an anti-marriage person yourself, or are you a pro-marriage? Like, I don't know how to put that, but like
the institution, the institution is definitely, it's shady and dark and gendered. but I was definitely, I thought it was, I thought I was anti-marriage. I thought I was going to be like, you know, wearing a jean jacket, driving a BMW in like a cool neighborhood for the rest of my life. And like, you know, date what I wanted to and not be bogged down. And then it's like, you know, I'm like a cat person. I'm a Cancer. I proposed to my best friend. You know, we're getting married in August. I think, I'm anti jumping into something. I'm way quicker than you should. I'm pro like living your life and taking your time, because it's a big deal to have a domestic partnership and, of really of any kind. So I thought for sure I quote unquote wanted to be, or thought that was like a sustainable lifestyle for me, but it's absolutely not. I mean, life is better in partnership.
It's interesting about the characters. Like, so I don't want to spoil anything in this, but like, so early on,
spoil away.
Yes. Early on, there's this, a mutual love, right? But they don't want to. It's interesting, the idea of the one person feels like, well, I mean, do you think it is, Josh's character, I keep blanking on the name, is it really marriage that is marriage just the, like, well, maybe that's what'll make me happy? Or do you think, is it really the belief that marriage is the solution? Like, does he really want to be married, or is it just looking for happiness? Or is that the question of the whole film that I'm?
Is that, to me?
Either. I mean, when you wrote it, was there an intent behind it?
I do think that question is a significant question for this guy. Is it like marriage, or is it specifically this marriage? You know, looking for happiness. Is he going to get it, you know, from this person or from the institution? It was definitely, there's definitely something there as far as just clinging to it to pull him toward happiness, you know.
Okay. It's, and I love the chicken. Oh, there's chicken references everywhere. What, I didn't even, it's funny because I looked at the poster so many times and I never saw the chicken, and now I can't not see the chickens. What is there a chicken background? Is there a story behind the chicken? Like, did you grow up with chickens, or?
I didn't grow up with chickens. It was originally titled Just Chicken.
Just Chicken? Oh, yes. I saw that somewhere. I did see that on IMDb thing.
Yeah, no, it was originally titled Just Chicken. And you know, just this guy who he gets a job with, his sort of worst nightmare, is working in a fast food chicken place his dad owns, but he's, you know, really in love with his chickens.
Yeah.
You know, being able to maybe relate to, you know, sort of being natural, being, you know, animals, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, originally supposed to be called Just Chicken. And I love that, like, you didn't notice the chicken, then you watched the movie, then you saw the chicken.
Chickens everywhere.
Yeah. Poster, you're like, oh shit, chicken. It's love that.
Chicken. Okay, so I'll have done a review of the show, of the film, right before this interview airs. Spoiler alert here. It's a little positive review. I really enjoyed the film. So a lot of my listeners like to listen. They like to get to know the artist a little bit. And so I have 7 questions that I ask people the first time they're on a show, on the show with us here. It's the Black and a Half world famous 7 questions. And so if we could just ping pong these between the two of you, that'd be great. Yeah. We can start with David.
Or we could do Josh 6 and I'll do 1. You know what I'm saying? I'm not good. Yeah.
We want all these. Okay. Number 1, what are you most nerdy about?
Interesting.
So nerdy being that thing that you are super into, that you know the minutia of, or that it's your go-to collectible, that kind of thing.
Right.
Wow. I think I'm a 38-year-old man, but I do fantasize about having not just an office, but a place to put all my trinkets. And like, I want to be one of those. I don't know if this answers your question, but I aspire to be a cool nerd, like to be like the filmmaker writer that has like his Ghostbusters bug eye toy and his Batman Returns McDonald's penguin car and like a couple of awards for his little genre films. Uh-huh. But like most people be like, oh yeah, I need an office to go and do my work. I'm like, oh, I want an office to put like my Darkman collectibles. my EC Comics poster and, you know, my Stephen King books. Like I'm kind of obsessed with the eventual time whenever the hell that may be, when I can afford to have another room, where I can not only work, that's like not at the dining room table, have a very small place.
So if you could dedicate, but if you could have a dedicated shelf for just one, is there one that you could pick? Like Stephen King or Batman?
Oof, impossible. I think right now it would be like a direct competition of like either Darkman collectibles, which is incredibly nerdy, an obscure Liam Neeson Sam Raimi horror movie.
Oh yeah,
I know. Superhero movie, or like trinkets from my movies, like fan art, which I don't think is nerdy. I think it's just like very sweet. Mm-hmm. My little shrine for my selfish shrine, thanks to the fans.
Okay, David.
You know. I'm sitting here, I'm definitely struggling a little bit because like great question, killer setup. And I'm like, I'm a nerd. Yeah. I'm definitely a nerd. There's no question, you know, I mean, I'd like to think I'm not. I'm gonna take a pass at the moment. Something will hit me hopefully over the course of these and I'll be like, wait a minute, let's go back to the nerd thing because
The questions might spur it on.
There's a nerd one in there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, number two.
Wow, we got a pass on question one, David. That's a big...
Wow.
That's like a lifeline on the first question of who wants to be a nerd. That's like for using a lifeline. Okay.
But the next answers are going to be so good. Okay. We'll look up for it.
Okay, number two. What's something that you love to eat?
I'm going to jump right on that and say sushi. I mean, that's an easy one. That's sushi and like any, you know.
Are you a sushi? My wife says she eats sushi and then she gets California rolls. Do you get real? Like,
no, I'm like that.
Okay.
I'd like to think of myself as a, you know, someone who's evolved in that sense, but I, you know, a good California roll, nothing better.
Do you eat any raw? Anything raw?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Yellowtail, salmon, all that stuff. But awesome. You know, I don't have like a really. I'm a sushi. I'll say sushi on that one.
Okay, great, Josh.
That's a good one. My mom's rigatoni bolognese, homemade bolognese. I'm like I'm such a noodle boy. Like I'll have any noodle with any meat sauce on it, especially if it's my mom's bolognese. But yes, I'm a big fan of like rigatoni and meat sauce any time of the year, hot, cold, summer, winter.
Oh yeah, that makes me hungry. Number three, awesome. What's something that you love to drink?
Okay, I'll say seltzer. I'm a seltzer guy.
I'm a
seltzer guy.
Yeah. Well.
Yep.
I've got a variety. I've got a variety in my bag.
Do you have any like tea flavored seltzer? No. Have you ever had that?
I feel like I tried one and then I accidentally bought the alcoholic one and those weren't working for me. a tea flavored?
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the brand.
You know, some whatever, like black tea flavored seltzer.
I don't think I have. I'm going to have to look
for that somewhere. Okay. It's out there. It's out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Josh? It's probably bad, but my fiance and I all day will just like rip through like cartons of LaCroix. So we like soda water too, but it's just like, because we don't really drink, we will just shred through an entire, like one case a day between the two of us, anxious drinkers of soda water. Probably should be drinking like, you know, we should get one of those soda makers so that we're not like, you know, adding
soda stream.
To the,
soda
the,
stream.
The landfill.
Yeah.
Soda stream. Yes. Yeah. If you could send me a soda stream, you know, I would post about it. I'll tweet it. If anybody's listening. Soda stream, if you're listening, please.
Yeah. LaCroix was my starter. I did that, and then Polar is my late my go to now, like Polar brand. Yeah. Number four? What kind of music do you love?
I love blues. I'm aspiring. When I'm being recorded here, I'm realizing like I can say something very unwoke, very, very easily.
Okay.
So, and I mean that in the best sense. I'll just say, for whatever it's worth, I love this, one of these guys, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I did see him a whole bunch when I was younger. This might fill in the nerd stuff. Ready?
Okay.
I listen to happy jazz.
Happy jazz? Okay.
You know what happy jazz is?
Like if I typed it in to Spotify, a little more upbeat?
Just like, like killer sort of like Steely Dan type players. Great players. Okay. But for some reason they make these really crappy jazz, like you hear in the dentist office kind of thing.
Like
when there's good musicianship, like I'm like, oh, this is great.
But what's that tune you play at the whole movie? There's a very specific one.
Yes, it was the theme from the movie Arthur. Right. That was Muzak. Okay, it was the theme from the movie Arthur, but it was like the Muzak version.
Right.
So you know, like when you get caught between the good.
That's right.
That's a great song. I haven't heard that in forever.
By the way, this is a sidetrack that needs to be noted here, which is that when I was 13, my bar mitzvah, it's a bit of a sidetrack. My dad played the theme from Arthur, this song, to a slideshow of me when I was, which was just incredible. Just incredible. So I'm just saying.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That's a great trivia piece we'll remember for you.
Yeah. We can watch it right now. If you
Josh, favorite music or music you
I'm
love?
A big fan. It changes constantly, but these days I'm a big fan of Waxahachie and Kevin Morby. It's just like kind of a, I don't know, modern folky kind of a dude. I loved Ryan Adams, and then when he got canceled, I was like, I don't know if I should. I'll still watch Woody Allen, but not in person.
Right.
Kevin Morby and Waxahachie, I think they're so great. I'd love to see them live someday. They actually, I have like nostalgia for, I don't know if you guys feel this way about like early in the pandemic, like nostalgia for the time when we all gathered around the table and either did puzzles or when we, whatever, you know, we're like baking bread or whatever. Like my fiance and I, like at the beginning of the pandemic, we were like a little nervous and seeking comfort in toilet paper and bread, would also find comfort in Waxahachie and Kevin Morby doing like live Instagram concerts. And that was like, I have a nostalgia for that time in like Los Angeles winter, spring, when we didn't know if it was like safe to go outside and, you know, breathe like someone's air as they run past you in a jog. I think that's a big reason why they're faves right now.
Like it. Okay. Number five, what do you love to create?
What do I love to create? All right. What do I love to create? I'm coming back again. I'm coming back on this one again, but I came up with the nerd one. So I will come back.
I mean, this is so, it's passe, but I'm a sucker for stories, whether I get to make one, whether I get to film one, whether I get to be in one. I love creating a
story,
creating a good story. Been creating since I was a kid, you know, little comic books or a little short story or, you know, scripts. I'm finding I hated it some time ago, but I really grew into like sitting down and just kind of writing and creating. So creating anything on the page is mwah.
No, I agree. Like sometimes I worry as a film critic that like, I mean, a story is a big focus for me. Even I know I'm supposed to be looking at all these visuals and stuff, but I come from a theater background and I do stand up comedy and such. So I'm always like, it's always about story to me in the end. when I'm watching stuff. Okay, you're gonna come back to this, David.
I just thought of one, which is I do making little like for my kids' a birthday or you know, my daughter just graduated high school, so did, you know, just little life videos. They're more or less you could take like all the iTunes stuff, line it up and hit the button.
Yeah.
I actually try to do more than that, but I'm not sure that it's necessarily better.
Right.
It might have been better had I just hit the button and went.
Right.
But they're fun. They're fun in that you're going to get credit, man.
Yeah.
You're going to get credit.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Excellent. All right. Number six, what's a game you love to play?
I think we flipped it here now where Josh is the first one. So,
there's a game called, it's a party game and it's name. I think they call it cat and mouse, but it has nothing to do with being a cat or a mouse. You basically hand out pieces of paper and ask people to write down questions, a who question, who, what, when, where, why questions. And then you pass the page to the next person. You fold over the question so the next person doesn't know what question you wrote. The next person writes any answer to any question, who, what, when, where, why. So any answer to who question, you know, Pamela Anderson, Santa Claus, Einstein, whatever. Any answer to a what question, when, such, any time you want, any location, anything. And then you jumble them up. You open them up and then you have a bunch of random who, what, when, where, why questions with extremely random answers, who, what, when, where, why answers. And it's the funniest thing ever. It's like the guaranteed way to laugh because you can say like, you know, who pierced your dad's ears? And the answer is the next person didn't know that that was a question. They, you know, the response would be Batman. So it just, you know, it is such a great. It's a great way to just giggle and people get exhausted by it by part three, but you gotta try it. I think my friend Dreama introduced me to this. For some reason it's called. Yeah. It's a ridiculously, ridiculous.
I'm going to look for that. I like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
David, do you have a game?
All right. Yes. And this is an easy one, which is chess. I don't play chess that much, but in the last, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. I played with my dad some on this, like, you know, Snap.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not, maybe there's a theme here, but that, I don't win a lot, but I do think there's quite a bit to learn about, you know, I don't know, like, you know, what didn't work or how quickly you come back to play another game, you know, that kind of thing. And occasionally I do win.
Yeah.
I do win on rare occasion, but yeah.
Excellent. Okay, the last question. So there's no comeback laters, right? Question. In 100 years,
okay,
when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Okay, interesting.
My performance in Are You Happy Now?
Whoa, that is a good answer, man. Good answer.
My performance in Are You Happy Now and the reunion screening that we're going to do at some old lovely, at the movie theater where the final scene takes place.
I love that. That's a killer answer. I'll say that. I'll say the maker of Are You Happy Now. How's that?
Okay.
How's that?
I'll take that for now. As long as you guys come back for another film to give me an answer that's not marketing related.
Awesome.
Unquestionably.
I love it.
Unquestionably.
Okay.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you two so much, David and Josh, for coming in here. Are You Happy Now? It's now playing direct streaming everywhere. When this airs next week, it will be. So everyone be sure to check that out.
Black and a half. Thank you so much for having us, sir.
All right.
Black and a half.
live long and prosper.